Swamiji, can we continue on with the teaching methodology? And I wanted to give you a few questions, Swamiji, that maybe you could work with those questions and with whatever else Swamiji has to say. One is when we say that the Advaita Vedanta is the Shabda Pramana, how does that Shabda Pramana actually work? How does it take place? How does knowledge take place in the antakarana, in the mind? And what is the relationship between knowledge and experience and the self-evident nature of the self and experience? Because all of these things are need to be understood in order to understand how knowledge takes place, Swamiji, with the Shabda Pramana. And there's a lot of confusion over looking for an experience or for looking for something to happen, as opposed to recognizing the self-evident nature of yourself. So that's the arena, Swamiji.
Yeah. Let us look at these evidence, self-evidence first. An experience, whether it is a direct perception, is an experience. Or it's just an imagination, a fancy, is an experience. A recollection is an experience. Or a deliberate resolve, that's an experience. Or inquiry, a very persistent, consistent inquiry into a topic, any topic, that's also an experience. If I dream, it's an experience. If I sleep, that's another experience. And if there is a twilight zone, neither dream or waking, that's also an experience. Therefore, there is nothing outside experience. In this, whatever I experience is not self-evident, is evident to the self. Whatever I experience, a dream experience, is evident to the self. I don't know experience is also evident to the self. I know this object also is experience, evidence to the self. Experience another word. It's all evident to the self, to I. Which is self-evident being. What is self-evident is the what is invariable in all evidence. In all evidence, the object is not invariable. The experience is invariable. When I say self-evident, it is self-experience. It is self-experience. It is in the form of anubhuti swarupa. So anubhuti, experience, in otherwise, we can say, in every experience, there is object consciousness. Put it the other way. So the experience has got an object. There is an object consciousness. Sleep consciousness, dream consciousness, waking consciousness, which is form consciousness, color consciousness, sound consciousness. It's all one consciousness The consciousness that reveals itself is self-revealed. Consciousness reveals an object and it is self-revealed. This is what we say, self-revealed. Which is experience. In other words, we can say it is experience itself. It is not experience of something. It is experience itself. So we are not talking about a non-experience when we say Atma. We are talking about what we experience all the time, that which is in the form of experience. Then when I say, whatever I experience is because of Atma. Atma is invariable. And therefore we are not presenting Atma as something to be experienced. Because every experience is Atma. That is our bread and butter. If every experience is Atma, then the experiencer is Atma, experience is Atma, experienced also is Atma. For that you need Vedanta. We need Vedanta. To prove the experiencer is the Atma, you have to understand Ishvara properly. Without understanding Ishvara, there is no question of understanding what you experience and the experiences, both of them are one Atma. Because our orientation is, suppose somebody tells, you are only a witness of everything. That is only dissociation. That's the problem of dissociation. That creates a problem of dissociation. This manobuddhi ahankara chittani naam. I am not the mind, I am not the buddhi, I am not the chittan. That causes a problem of dissociation. Or if I say that Ishvara is somewhere in Goloka Vrindavan, again, I am talking about my being nobody. It's not worthwhile talking. There's nothing to pursue in terms of knowledge. It's purely some kind of a wrong belief, mistaken belief. First we say Ishvara. And then we give that person a location. And give a body, etc. It sounds just ridiculous, childish. Therefore, the self-evident nature implies only one thing, that I don't need a means of knowledge to prove my existence. That's all self-evident. I don't need to see whether I am there or not. I don't need to objectify, because I am already there to objectify. Who will objectify? If the self exists, if I say the self I exist, and this has to be proven by some evidence, then there should be another self to which the existence of this self becomes evident. That self must be self-evident. Otherwise you won't have the self. because it goes to the regression to infinity. One thing should be self-evident, and everything else becomes. Therefore, I will say, there are two things which exist. One is Pramana Siddha, the other is Swata Siddha. What is Pramana Siddha? Is that which becomes evident through a means of knowledge. Swata Siddha is what is self-evident. This Pramana is, there is a witness perception, Sakshi Pratyaksha, Indriya Pratyaksha, then Anumana Arthapatitya. Therefore, without Pramana, only one thing, that is Siddha, that is Atma, Swata Siddha. Because Atma is Swata Siddha, then Atma can become a Pramata. And in the vision of Vedanta, as we will see, it is both Pramata, Prameya and Prama. It is the subject, it is the object, it is the very cognition, Prama, knowledge, knower, known knowledge. That is what we have to discover, that is called Advaita. Knower, known knowledge is only one thing. There is no second. Then, if there is Ishvara, it has to be known. Means all that is known is Ishvara. The knower also is Ishvara. And all possibilities are Ishvara. Even knowledge is not separate from Ishvara. That is why abhaditam jnana. Because you can't negate Ishvara. Knowledge is Ishvara. What cannot be negated is jnana, and that is Ishvara. Therefore, we need to see how this is arrived at, this knowledge. The Upadesha, the teaching is using a prakriya, a method. The prakriya is adhyaropa apavada prakriya. Adhyaropa apavada abhyam nishprapancham prapanchate. Adhyaropa is superimposition, apavada is negation. Adhyaropa apavada abhyam nishprapancham prapanchate. You will find this adhyaropa apavada method. Adhyaropa is superimposition, apavada negation. You find this method employed in all prakriyas. This is the common basis for all prakriyas. No matter what type of prakriya you use, this adhyaropa apavada method helps. The method has to be employed. Let us look at one method, the Karanakarya method. So, sadvastu, sadeva somi idam agra asit. Idam jagat agre asit. Idam jagat, this entire jagat, was there, srishtehe prak, before the creation, as sat, sadvastu. Idam jagat, sadeva asit. Like this tree was there in the seed. So this tree was there in the seed. Look at this. This tree was there in the seed. Hey, that seed is such a small little thing. How can this huge tree could be in that seed, orange seed? This orange tree, how could this tree abide in that seed? How can you say this tree was in the seed? Now you tell me where it was. If it was not in the seed, where do you saw the seed? Only you saw the seed. You saw the seed for what? For the tree to come, the orange tree to come. Then when you want the orange tree, then you saw the orange seed. So that means you knew orange tree will come. A non-existent orange tree from the seed, how will it come? Why? If it can come, then any tree can come from any seed. If non-existent orange tree can come from any seed, non-existent orange tree comes from this seed, then in a mango seed also there is non-existent orange tree. Correct? Being non-existent, it should be everywhere. So, if a non-existent orange tree comes from some seed, from any one seed, then any tree can come from any seed. No. Only from orange seed, orange tree can come. That means what? There's a connection between one and the other. What is the one? It's the orange seed. So orange seed comes as a rule, given the time and place, from the sea. If it is Florida orange, Florida orange. No big. And if it is our Manjukuri orange, small. We used to get some of this. We used to go up that tree. Miserable. Therefore, from that seed only that tree comes. So I should assume there is a connection between this cause and the effect. The Shastra tells the effect was there in the cause. Cannot be in the physical form as it is in a differentiated form. Nirvikalpam asi. Correct? Nirvikalpam asi. Bijasyanta rivankuru. Jagadidam prak nirvikalpa. Before prak, srishtehe prak, before creation, nirvikalpam asi, undifferentiated this entire jagad, like even a tree in a seed. This is what we say unmanifest. Unmanifest tree means what? It is pure jnana. Tree also is jnana. That's another topic altogether. You can ask another question and then I will talk about it. That's another. You can ask a question, you said, is all jnanam, you said, what is that jnanam, you please say. This is for a book. So, nirvikalpam asi. This is what we say. Manifest knowledge is what we see as a tree. Unmanifest knowledge is the cause. If this is true, the unmanifest jagat is the cause. Unmanifest knowledge of the jagat is the cause. Manifest knowledge is the jagat. Knowledge of the jagat is jagat. So, from mere unmanifest manifest, we add one more word, unmanifest knowledge to manifest knowledge. There is nothing more. Unmanifest knowledge to manifest knowledge. Unmanifest knowledge is Ishvara. Manifest knowledge is but Ishvara. In the manifest knowledge, my body is included, my mind is included, my senses are included, means of knowledge involved, that is included, buddhi is included, chittam is included, memory is included. Everything is included. This is called manifest knowledge. Therefore, when I say this is a book. I say this is a book. What a change. Generally, this is a book. This is also okay. This is a book. When we say this is a book, this is a book, if we say. Now, this book is manifest knowledge. One of the things, that's the only thing. If it is a whole, any one thing is whole. If it is a whole, if the space in which this is there, that is also Ishvara. This is also Ishvara. There is nothing, the one who holds that also is Ishvara. Then what is it that makes an object separate from Ishvara? The beauty is that we can understand this discreetly as an object. That's something. That's where we have got pramana. Otherwise you don't need a pramana. Ishvara's knowledge is all knowledge if it is. No pramana is required. It's all knowledge, Ishvara, that's all. There is no pramana. If Ishvara has to employ a means of knowing, then Ishvara will have ignorance. Because he has the means of knowing. If he has a means of knowing, there is not knowing. If there is not knowing, there is ignorance. If there is ignorance, it cannot be all knowledge. Therefore, Ishvara to be all knowing, there should be no necessity for means of knowing. Then only Ishvara is all knowledge. So, all knowledge Ishvara. Is understood discreetly by me as an individual. with a means of seeing, knowing, which includes senses, my mind, and the pramata, the knower. The knower knows knowledge. This is Ishvara. And people want to know Ishvara. Other than the knower, no knowledge. Correct? Like you see the book and you see something else. I hope I don't invoke anything. So you see something else. By seeing different things, we understand one thing we see. But now we want to see Ishvara. We want to experience Ishvara. We want to experience the whole. Atma cannot be experienced, already I have told you. Atma is experienced. No, Ishvara cannot be experienced either. Ishvara cannot be an object. If Ishvara is one object, then out of mind, out of sight. Suppose you enclose Ishvara in a thought, then Ishvara becomes enclosed, correct? And you are outside Ishvara. You objectify Ishvara. Ishvara has to wait for your obliging. You have to say, I can't think about you now, I have to think about various other things. I'm thinking about the free market in the weekend, what to buy. Therefore, if you think of a flea, or think of the flea market, Ishvara is out. Correct?
Poor Ishvara.
Therefore, how can Ishvara be an object of experience? If there is Ishvara, every object of experience is Ishvara. Any time you experience, whatever experience, any place, anywhere, whether here or elsewhere, it is all Ishvara. Every experience is Ishvara. So you cannot get out of Ishvara. That is how Ishvara is to be understood. Therefore, neither Ishvara is a matter of experience, nor Atma is a matter of experience, and the equation between the Atma and Ishvara, how it is going to be experienced? Separately. How that will be an experience? Neither object of experience is Ishvara, nor Atma is an object of experience. It is experience, and every experience is experience. All these are one and the same. If all these subject, object, experience, all of this one and the same, we need to understand pada and vakya. Today I'm going to talk there. There is one particular in this song. Bache vidne rajan vinayakam yaje palachandram padavakya prameyam bhaje vidne rajan padavakya prameyam. First padartha we should know, what is Ishvara? What is Jiva? Vedanta is Ishvara, is Jiva. I am Atma, Brahma. or Aham Brahma. In the direct speech, you say that Tattvam Asi. In the second person, you say you are, with Upadesha, that Brahmattvam Asi, Satyamattvam Asi. Satyam Brahma, Yekameva Dvitiyam Brahma, Tvam Asi. So, what is Ishvara, we have to know. What is Jiva also, we have to know. Here, the Jiva has got Adhyaropa, Apavada. There is Adhyaropa, Apavada here also, in the Jiva. In the Ishvara also, there is Adhyaropa, Apavada. So what is Adhyaropitam? What is the locus of Adhyaropa? Whether the Jiva is Adhyaropita or Jivatvam is Adhyaropita. If the entire Jiva is Adhyaropita, then something else is Atman. If the Jiva, when you say, that there is a being involved, Jivaha being involved. That being is the locus and the superimposition is what makes the being a Jiva. Jivatvam is Satyarupitam. When Ishwaraha, when you say the Pratyaya tells a being, the Prakriti tells what being. The Pratyaya tells one being, singular Pratyaya. So, that Su is Ishvara plus Sakara, Ishwaras. And then Sakara becomes Ishwar. Sajayushvaruhu, Ritve, Avasane, Visarjaniya, Ishvaraha. Great, Ishvara. That Ishvaraha, a being who is singular. That being singular is Pratyaya. Who is that being singular? Ishvaraha, Prakriti. Here also being singular is there. Who is that being? Jiva. Therefore, Jivatvam Adhyaropitam, Ishvaratvam Adhyaropitam. That being is locus. This is called Pada. This Pada is very important. Without the Pada Vichara, there is no Vakya Vichara. Vedanta is a means of knowledge only through Vakya, not by a word, by a sentence. That's why I always say it's an equation. So it's a sentence meaning, it's not word meaning. Difference is very big. Therefore, understanding of Ishvara is inevitable. Understanding of Jiva is also inevitable. That's all what is there in this world. Therefore, understanding the whole is exactly what is involved. That is why so much is to be talked about. This, the Jivatvam is Adhyaropitam and Ishwaratvam Adhyaropitam. Then the Prakriya is tell us why it is called Adhyaya Rupa. That means not that we decided to superimpose anything. It is not our adhyasa. This is empirically true. So what it is all about, next session.
Okay. Thank you, Swamiji.
Thank you.